Like I say, it's good to see everyone here this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. And we want to bid you a cordial welcome and hope that you come back each and every opportunity that you may have. If you would, turn over to the book of Acts, Acts the 17th chapter. Here we notice that in this chapter, at the beginning of this chapter, Paul and Silas are preaching there in Thessalonica. And Paul was reasoning with them about Christ, and some were persuaded, yet others were not, and they gathered a mob together and had talked about these people have turned the world upside down. And so they wanted to send them out, and they actually assaulted the house of Jason and saying that he had harbored them and that was acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there was another king who is Jesus. But we noticed that they had went down to Berea. And let's look at verse 10. In verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And so we see that as they were driven from Thessalonica, Paul and Silas, they come to Berea. Berea is some 50 miles southwest of where they were. And in Berea, as custom of the apostles and Paul, that they entered into the synagogue of the Jews. And the Bereans, the Jews here, they were commended by Paul, saying that these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. In the New King James, it says they were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica. The Bereans' nobility was evidence of this nobility at least three times in this particular context. And the first time that we see this in they were all readiness of mind. Instead of allowing jealousy or prejudice or somebody keeps messing with the mic. Well, first of all, they received the word with all readiness of mind. And when we think about that, instead of allowing jealousy or envies or prejudice blind them, as what some did then, they give the word a great deal of consideration. And sometimes today, because of their jealousies or envies, because of their prejudice for whatever reason, that they don't do as the Bereans did. And the Bereans are an example to us that as they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that were being taught were so. And we should do the same thing and give heed to the doctrine or the word of Christ and what is in our Bibles. And we see that instead of persecuting or rejecting the messenger, as what happened here where Paul and Silas were sent out, and later they're sent out again, and he goes on into Athens, and we see that some were rejecting the truth of God's word. But these Bereans, they listened attentively to the message that was being taught. And it is the honest inquiry of God's word which God wants us to do. He wants us to inquire about his word. He doesn't want us to just take anything that someone says, but he wants us to compare it to what his word says And if it is true with what is being taught according to His Word, then we should accept that and obey it. But we need to give attention to that Word. And many times people will not give attention to God's Word. They just believe whatever is thrown out there for them to listen to. And they're not doing studying on their own. There were some who wanted to understand God's Word. And evidently these Bereans were of that nature. They wanted to understand what God's Word was, so they paid close attention to what was being taught. And as they paid attention to that, they searched the Scriptures continually to see if these things were so or not. They investigated so that they, in other words, they wanted to know what the truth was. Many times I think people today, they don't really want to know what the truth is. They just want to know what will soothe my conscience where I can think that I'm okay with God. They were not gullible. They were not blindly accepting things as people are blindly accepting things today. Why don't we get back to the Bible as we have an example of these Bereans and search the Scriptures to see if what is being taught in these congregations where we attend, is it really so? Is it in line with what God's Word says or not? Sometimes people, they, instead of searching themselves, they just listen to whatever their preacher has to say. And if the preacher says it, they just believe it. It's got to be so or he wouldn't have said it. I call that preacher-itis. We don't need to put our faith in the preacher. Now then, yes, we have a preacher in order to preach God's Word to us, just as the apostles were teaching the Bereans there in Berea. Those Jews, they were being taught the Word of God, but the Bereans there, they searched the Scriptures to make sure what that preacher was saying was true. And this is what we need to do. A study of God's truth is a way that we can please God in studying His truth and worshiping Him. Do you realize that when we hear the gospel preached, that is a part of our worship? That is something that God intends for us to do. In John chapter 5, in verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are which testify of me." If we want to learn about Christ, go to the Scriptures, because they are what testify about Him. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, as he's writing this letter to this young evangelist Timothy, he said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but that rightly or correctly divides the word of truth." That way we can understand the word of truth. The next thing that we see in this, their evidence of how that they were noble was in that they were also or fair-minded. They was also manifested in examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They didn't just take what someone said. They looked it up. They searched it. They searched it out. Is this really true? Can I follow this? And we're going to see later that because of that, that many of them become Christians. And let's notice how what they did. They tested the teachers. And here we need to understand they tested the teachers who were teaching them at that time. Who was teaching them at that time? The apostles. Who is an apostle? It's an ambassador of Christ. It's one is sent forth for Christ. This is what Christ charged them to do in His commission. You go teach all nations. And He said you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that you teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And this is what these teachers, these apostles were doing. They were teaching exactly what Christ had told them to do. But these Bereans, what did they do? They tested the scriptures. They tested these teachers. They went and investigated by going into God's Word to see if what they were saying was true. And you know, if we had more people that did that today, there would be less division in the Lord's church today. You know, sometimes when I was a kid growing up, it was more about the different denominations out there and what they taught. The Church of Christ pretty much taught the same thing. There were some that were institutional in nature, but you know, they stood out, but everybody else was the same. They all taught the truth of God's Word. But that's not the case today. In many churches of Christ, just because it has the name Church of Christ out there doesn't mean it is teaching God's Word. And it's because people have not investigated what is being taught. It's whoever is popular, whoever is eloquent in their speech, whoever can hold my attention, whoever can tell the best stories that, you know, keeps me entertained while I'm there. That's what people want to listen to today. They don't want to listen to something that gives you book, chapter, and verse so that you can understand what God's Word is wanting me to do as a Christian. I don't want to be challenged. That's the problem with a lot of people today. But here they tested their teachers. Every teacher should be tested. Let me tell you why. Have you ever received some false information from someone? Has anybody ever lied to you? Have you ever believed that false information or believed the lie? And what do we do sometimes? Maybe we need to investigate more, especially when it comes to God's Word, because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. They're teaching things that pleases men. You know, we were studying in the book of John this morning, and we talk about many of the rulers. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they wouldn't confess Him. Why? They had rather glorify man than they had God. And it's the same thing today. People want to please man because they don't want to, you know, whether it's my family, whether it's my job, whether it's my friends at school, whatever the case may be, I'd rather please them than God because I want to get along with all them. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be close to our families or our friends, but if they're keeping me away from the Word of God, I need to stay away from me. I need to get back and put my head in the Word of God so that I can understand what God wants me to do. So I can please Him, because man cannot save us, but God can. Jesus died so that we could all be saved. And if we don't heed to His words, Jesus said in John, it's recorded in John chapter 12, verse 48, the words that I have spoken, they will judge you in the last day. And so we need to understand this. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, here John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And so here he's telling us that there's many false prophets gone out into the world, so we need to try them. We need to test them to see if the things that they are teaching are so. How will we know the truth unless we test it up against God's Word? Because we know God's Word is truth, so we must test it. So His teaching is the truth, and I must test it up against that. Anything else? Notice the reason for testing the teachers. It was to see if these things were so. We read this in these verses. Their purpose was not to entrap the teacher. It wasn't to prove them wrong or anything like this. But they were prompted by their love for truth. So if I really love truth, then that should prompt me to test my teachers. Whoever is teaching, whether it's in a Bible class, whether it's in a sermon, wherever it is, you go to a gospel meeting. Anytime you hear someone speaking of God's Word, test it. Make sure what they're saying is the truth. Make sure they're giving you book, chapter, and verse for everything that they're teaching and they're saying. And we see that it is also a thing is not to be determined whether it's right or wrong by the size of the church. It's not to be determined right or wrong by the personality of the preacher. It's not to be decided whether it's right or wrong by the friendliness of the elders or the friendliness of the congregation. What we need to do is that we need to make sure that what is being taught is the truth. No matter how friendly they are, no matter how eloquent their speech is, or how good their personality is, how friendly everyone is, I need to make sure that they're teaching the truth. That's what's important. It's not important. I mean, it's nice to come into a congregation that they're friendly and they talk to you. And it's nice to have people that we click with, that we have the same type personalities. But it's more important that we are alike in truth in what the gospel teaches us.
Amen.
It is to be determined by examining the scriptures to see if what is being taught is right or wrong. You know, years ago we talked about the sizes of congregations. Years ago, a large congregation was considered one that was doing everything right. And the small ones, they were the antis. They were the ones that was against Bible class or the one-cuppers or something like this. But that's not so anymore. I'm not saying that every large congregation there's something wrong, because I'm sure as you and I know there are many large congregations that are preaching the truth, that are doing much good. But a lot of times today, it is the small groups that are sticking with God's Word. And what I need to do, whether it's big or small, it doesn't matter. What matters is the truth being taught according to God's Word, not according to what some man says or what I feel or what I may think, but what does God's Word say? Notice who was doing the testing. It was the Bereans himself. It was the one that was hearing the Word. It was the students. Here you're hearing the Word preached. They were the ones that were challenging the teachers by studying, by searching the Scriptures to see if it's so, what's being said. And that's what we should do. Testing someone is not a privilege and it's not a responsibility of some preacher or some elder. It's their responsibility, yes, but not theirs alone. It is every single member of the Lord's body. It is each individual's responsibility to see if the things that they hear are the truth or not. Sometimes people say, well, you know, the elders, they say it's okay, so it's okay. You know, when people say that, that really bugs me. That runs the hair up on the back of my neck. Because that elder can be wrong. That's the reason you have qualifications for elders. I've been in congregations, which I'm sure many of you have, where some elders, they lorded over God's heritage. In other words, I'm your elder. You listen to what I say. And I've been where there are men that act that way. And it is not a position, an elder. It is a work. And it is a work according to what God has put forth. Taking His pattern of things and enforcing that pattern. His law and enforcing His laws. Not making laws themselves. Not all about them. It is all about glorifying God. And so some elders can be the wrong kind of elders. And what I'm saying is, I do not need to put my faith in the eldership or the preacher. Now, if they're teaching what is right, yes, I should support them. I should support them in preaching and teaching the truth and making sure that God's Word is taught. But that is my individual responsibility. It's no one else's. And like I heard a gospel preacher say this one time when I was very young, when someone said, well, I thought that's what we hired a preacher for, is to go out and to do personal work to bring people into the congregation. And that preacher, he sat there and he said, you know what, if I preached and I taught and I went out and I worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 352 days in the year, all I would have done was my work. I didn't do anything for anybody else. We all have a responsibility, and we need to keep that in mind, and that's what these Bereans did. They kept it in mind. It was their responsibility to find out if these things were so. Notice the standard by which those things were tested. It was by the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures there. You know, we have all of these different teachings and doctrines out there today. You know, we have the Catholic Catechism, we have the Baptist Manual, we have the Methodist Discipline, we have the Jehovah's Watchtower, we have the Book of Mormons, we have the Humanistic Manifestos. We have all of these things. We have the Koran. We have all these different things out there. But what did they use? They used the Scriptures to test things. And that's what we need to test them by. Not what some man's teaching is or what his doctrine is, but what is God's Word. That's what we need to test these things by. The Scriptures are the court of appeal. Sometimes when we think about the court of appeal, you know, that's the last thing that you can go to. It is the Supreme Court to get a ruling on something. If you don't like this ruling, well, you go there. Well, God's Word is the last. It is the only thing that we are to go by. And we need to see that only the authority of God, which determines truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, here Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. It comes from the very breath of God. And it is profitable for teaching and for instruction in righteousness. And so this is what it's for. And then, you know, we quote verse 16 all the time, but what about verse 17? It is that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. In other words, we can be equipped with everything we need in the Scriptures because it comes from the very breath of God. And He tells us what that we need to do. Next, we see that those that lived under the Old Testament law, they tested that which was being taught by the law of Moses. Those today who live under the New Testament or the New Covenant, we're to test things under the New Law, in the New Testament. Doesn't mean that we cannot go to the Old Testament for references, because they were written for our learning, for our admonition, to help us, that we can see some of the mistakes that maybe they made, and some of the things that they did right, so it helps us in our life. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, the Hebrew writer says, behold, I have come to do your will. He does now take away the first in order to establish the second. So this Old Testament law, it's no longer binding for us today. It was binding for those that lived in that dispensation of time, but it's not binding for us today. But the new covenant is, because He nailed that to the cross when He was crucified. What about Revelation chapter 20 in verse 12? Here we see John, and he said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And there was another book, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what was written in the books and the things that they had done. In verse 15 of that, anyone that was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we need to understand, now then, those that have died under the old law, whether it's the patriarchal law or the Mosaical law, they will be judged by how they lived under the law that they were under as they were living. We, as being in the New Testament, in the dispensation of Christ, we will be judged by His words and what He taught. And like we referred to John 12:48, that's exactly what Jesus said. And we need to understand that once we become a child of God, we are put in, our name is written in the book of life. And so, but just because it's written in there one time doesn't mean it's going to stay there. It's not once saved, always saved. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. We need to understand that that name can be marked out. Because I can fall from the grace of God after I become a Christian, and I can turn away from Him and do things that are participating in the things in the world, and then my name can be erased. And as John said, those that names was not written in the book of life, they were cast into hell. And we need, sometimes people get tired of hearing this, but until the day I die, I'm going to talk about heaven and I'm going to talk about hell. Because those are the only two destinations that we have. There's nowhere in between. We're either going to have heaven as our home or we're going to spend eternity in hell. And so we need to understand that. And in order to be in heaven, I need to do things according to what God's Word says. And again, Revelation 12 and verse 48, the word that I have spoken, Jesus said, that is what will judge you in the last day. And let's also notice in this the diligence that is employed here, or the effort that is put forth by the Bereans. They search the Scriptures daily. Now then, we need to ask ourselves this question sometime. Do we search the Scriptures daily? Do we even pick our Bible up and read it on a daily basis? Or is the only time we think about the Bible is on Wednesday nights and Sundays? Is that the only time we pick up our Bible? Is that the only time we read? And even then, are we reading the Bible? When the preacher gives a verse, or the Bible class teacher gives a verse, do we look that verse up? Or if you can't, as I've been told by some of the members here, that I speak too fast and they don't have time to look it up. But do you write it down? Do you write the verse down? I know that I repeat the verse sometimes at least twice. Do you write it down and then go home and search it to see if what I said was true? That's what we need to be. That's what it's talking about, searching the Scriptures daily. I know one person here that does that. And she's been doing that ever since she's known me, as preaching. We have to at least write these things down to see if we're so. If we sit there and listen and I get up here and I'm talking, or whoever is doing the speaking, and if I'm not writing down the Scriptures to see if what that man is saying, or if I'm not following along as he is reading those Scriptures, then how do I really know? Has anybody told you a story and you didn't back it up and find out it's a lie, it's not the truth? We all have. Think about Jacob. You know, his sons told him that his favorite son, Joseph, was dead. That he must have been killed by wild beasts. And Jacob believed it. And then when they was trying to tell him that your son liveth, he didn't believe it. So sometimes we can believe a lie, and other times we cannot believe the truth. And God will send a delusion to us because we've rebelled against Him, and He will help us to believe that lie and be damned. And that's because we're not doing our part in studying God's Word. It's not the preacher's job to study for everyone else. It's not the elder's job or the deacon's job to study for everyone else. We all have an obligation to do our own Bible study. So we should, this should be a way of life for us. You know, sometimes people talk about, like, there's not enough time in the day to do all these things. You know, we're all afforded the same amount of time. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we all do exactly what we want to do. If I really have that desire to study and know more about God's Word, I will know more about God's Word. Just like if I want to study a football team and I want to know the stats of all the players, I will know that. And you know what is a shame? There's many Christians today can tell you about every player on every team that plays in the NFL or every baseball team that plays, they can tell you everything about that. But they can tell you very little about God's Word. Now what does that say? That says, these things are more important than God's Word to me. Otherwise, I would know more about God's Word. And so, don't tell me we don't have time. We do exactly what we want to do in life. Because we have that choice. God has given us that choice. In Proverbs chapter 9, in verse 9 and 10, here Solomon is talking about the way to wisdom. He's speaking about that. In verse 9 it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight, or it's understanding. We should search the Scriptures daily. No matter how wise in substance or eloquence that one may be, it will not produce spiritual life. Only God's Word can do that. Many people today really do not know what the Bible teaches. You know, there's a lot of things that I say this every week. I try to put in that bulletin articles that I think will help us all. They help me is the reason I put them in there. And I hope that they help you, and I hope you pick one up and read it. Because in those, it is things, it's giving examples of Scriptures from the Old Testament, the New Testament, whatever. And what does God's Word teach on certain subjects? And this can help us. This is a tool that can help us all to learn. And there are many that do not know what the Bible teaches. Just as when in the book of our study in the book of John, that many of the Pharisees here, they talked about the law of Moses, talked about their law, which was the law of Moses. And was it Moses' law? No, it was God's law. But yet they did not understand what God's law taught. Otherwise, they would have recognized who Christ was when he came. And so, just because I want people to think that I am religious and I do some religious things doesn't mean I know God's Word. And so I need to learn that. I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. Sometimes people, they'll say this. They'll say this is found in the Scripture. Money is the root of all evil. And they will say honesty is the best policy. You do not have to pray through Jesus' name. Salvation is by faith only. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Today we're to keep the Christian Sabbath. None of these things are found in the Scriptures. But there's many people think that they are, because they've heard someone say this, and it sounds good to them, so they just accept it. These Bereans, they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Why don't we do the same thing today? And I'm not saying that everybody does it. Many of you may do this, but if you're not, this is a lesson for you, that we need to get back into the Scriptures and understand this. As far as the Bereans, we must test every teacher. We must determine whether it is so on all matters of faith and practice in what we do. There are many deceivers out in the world. And I want to look at a few verses. And I hope you turn to these verses with me. First of all, I want to look at the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 14. Here Paul says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So what are we supposed to do? We're not to let men of the world deceive us. And he continues, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ. What about, let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Here this being part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and there's a lot to be said in this chapter. But let's look at verses 15 and 16. Here Jesus, as he is talking to his disciples, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and it does not bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." And so here we need to pay attention to these things. Let's look at one more. Let's look over at the book of Galatians. In Galatians, let's look at chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and let's read verses 8 and 9. Here, Paul is talking about if someone brings any other teaching other than what we have taught. He said, "But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, anyone who preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." And so we need to, how are we going to know if they're bringing something different if I'm not studying my Bible myself? I have to study my own Bible to see if what's being taught is so. And when you think about what Paul said there, him being an apostle, him being one that Jesus sent out to preach the truth, and he gave the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth and bring to the remembrance all things that he had taught them. And yet, he said, even if we come up and we say something different than what we have said before, he's to be accursed. Even if an angel comes down out of heaven and tells you something different than what we have taught you, he's to be accursed. Why can't we understand that we need to go with the truth of the Scriptures and not what some man says? Very few people in our time search the Scriptures. Very few demand a "thus saith the Lord" in matters of faith and practice. As a result, they are destitute for truth. We need to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent, and we need to give book, chapter, and verse. And we need to demand book, chapter, and verse for anyone that is teaching a class or preaching. We need to demand book, chapter, and verse for what they teach. And the next evidence that we have here, the third thing, is their nobility or their fair-mindedness is evident in the results that followed after their searching the Scriptures daily. Notice the word "therefore." That word "therefore," it always, therefore, wherefore, that is a word that looks back. And so, after the things that we see here, how that they had received the word with all readiness of mind, they were ready to hear the word. And so they listened attentively to it. And they manifested this in their examining the Scriptures, them testing the Scriptures, investigating to see if these things were so. Now then we see the result of what they had done. Therefore, because of their good attitude, they readily accepted the truth of God. Look at Acts 17 and verse 12. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. That was the result of studying and searching the Scriptures, that they saw that it was so. They believed it, they obeyed it, and they become children of God. Their good attitude brought marvelous results. Why? They believed the gospel that was taught. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, why, Paul? Because it, the gospel, is the power unto salvation to all those that believe. And so we need to understand it is the power of God's word that convicts a man. You think about on the day of Pentecost when the 3,000 souls were saved. Can you imagine what some of them that they were accused of when Peter said, you by your wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord Jesus, and that same Jesus God has raised from the dead. Now you can imagine how that cut them and how guilty it made them feel. And some 3,000 souls, they were saved that day. But you know, sometimes we think about the 3,000, we think, oh man, what a wonderful, I wish we could save 3,000 souls today. I don't know how many people were there, but all nations were there. And it talks about all of these different nations and how many people that was in some of those nations. And you think about even Israel's armies that were there. You know, thousands upon thousands, upon 10,000s, and only 3,000 were saved. That was a small number. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go therein at. And so we see their good attitude help them. And we as preachers, as elders, as members of the church, when we learn what the truth is, then we need to... It all happened because the seed was planted. And the seed is the Word of God. And we need to continue planting that seed so that others will be saved. Jesus, in his parable of the souls, in Luke 18 and verse 5, as he's giving a, telling them, you know, what this meant, this parable meant. In Luke 8:15, but the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and bring forth fruit with patience. They believe it and they obey it. So in conclusion, we need to be like these noble Bereans who heard the word. They examined it, they tested it, they investigated it. And then the result of that is they believed it and they obeyed it. And so the question that I have today is this. Today, will you obey God's word? Will you take the things that you have heard? Will you test them? Will you try them? Will you investigate to see if the things that were said were so? And if so, and you're not a Christian, why not become one before it's too late? You know, we have no guarantee of life. James tells us, what is your life? It's just a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away. And so life is too short to put off becoming a Christian. And something else, if you're already a Christian, life is too short if you have fallen back into the world to say, well, I'm going to straighten out someday. Well, someday may never come. And what we need to realize is once that God comes back, when Jesus comes back, that ends it. There's no more repentance. There's no more forgiveness. There's no more mercy. There's nothing. And if you die in that condition, whatever condition you are when you die, some people think the day of judgment, I'm just going to plead. You know, I'm going to just go to God and I'm just going to plead and beg Him to forgive me of these things. That's not going to be what's going to happen. That day is going to be a day of reckoning. That's going to be a day when He's going to pass sentence. It's not going to be any more mercy, no more forgiveness. And He is a just God. But we need to understand, you know, He is a loving God, but He is also a God to be feared. Because He means what He says, and He has always, throughout the Scriptures, we see that God has always fulfilled His promise, no matter what that promise was. If it was a good promise or if it was a bad promise, a result of sin, He keeps His promise. And today we'd ask if we can help you in any way that you come.